Welcome to the Nurturing Potential England Hockey Talent Team podcast. Here's what we've got coming up today. Welcome to the Nurturing Potential England Hockey Talent Team podcast. Today I am joined as co-host by Brett Holland. Hello, Brett.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
I'm all good. Thank you very much. We have a very exciting conversation today. We are joined by Don Binson. Hi, Don.
Hello, Gary. Hi, Brett. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Slightly nervous about this conversation. This is one I am nervous about. Excited, but nervous. So, Don, would you just give the listeners a little bit of background about yourself, please?
Hi, everybody. My name is Don Binson. I have been part of the England Age Group program for quite a few years, since 2016. And I've been involved with the under 16 girls program all of that time for assistant coach for 6 years or so. And then for the last nearly 2 years, I've been head coach of that program. That's my hockey role. I also do some coach development work. And then my day job, I'm a professor of sport coaching at the University of Worcester.
Excellent. Thank you, John. Some fantastic roles there as well, hence my nervousness about where we go to in this conversation. Okay, so just before we get started, today is going to be around the Great Britain player qualities. I think it's really important for everyone to really understand where they are, where they came from, etc. So, Brett, will you just give us a little bit of background to the ones we're going to talk through today?
Yeah, great. So this lives in the talent system framework, and through consulting with senior England coaches, GB coaches, our elite development program, our age group coaches, past and current players, there are four main areas that were felt were always present for the players that have developed to be the best they can be and in environments that have been really, really high performing. So the four things that are highlighted were the pursuit of excellence, relentless spirit, celebrating everyone's contribution, which I'll come back to in a second, and then support and challenge. And that celebrate everyone's contribution is talking to what is a complete player, and we call the complete player quality. So understanding of the game, so a lot of things linked around their decision-making and recognising what's in front of them, the highest good actions that they possess, the physical ability, mental skills and teamship skills, and actually celebrating everyone's contribution is really around where your super strengths lie within that. Yep, those five areas are really, really important, but actually you can have super strengths in one that outweigh maybe not quite super strengths in others, and actually it's a blend of all those five things that make the team as effective as they can be. And I guess just coming to you really quickly there, Don, so we said that this is what makes really high-performing teams, this is what creates really, really great players that go on to represent the country at the highest levels. Where does this sit within your England age group team? Could you bring it to life a little bit with us?
Yeah, so these four statements are pretty integral, really, to everything that we do in some way, shape or form. Sometimes that's really overt and upfront. So, we've explicitly talked about these four things to the players, and there are boxes in their individual development plan that specifically relate to these elements, and we've talked to them right from the beginning of the program about how these things are informing the design or the journey that they're going to go on over the course of each year. So they're quite explicit in some ways, as in they're named in documents and they write stuff about them, and we write stuff about them. And then it's also implicit, I think, in some of the principles in the way that we go about doing our job as a coaching team and a management team within the under 16 program. You know, we have a manager and a physiotherapist, a goalkeeper coach and two other coaches supporting the program. So we have a whole team of people devoted to designing and supporting this program. And the qualities are implicit, I think, in all of the work that we do in planning, designing and reviewing the program throughout. And I think we're going to get into sort of what that looks like more specifically as we go through. So they are definitely more than, you know, four words or four statements on a page of a document. They are integral to the design and the outworking of everything that we do.
Thanks. Awesome. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks for that, Don. Just before we move on there, then, just in a little bit of a summary then from that bit there is, Brett, that we're talking around the statements that are around the edge of the other five complete qualities that we've talked around. We Don's then brought to life a little bit, and we'll go deeper in a second, about how he uses them overtly and implicitly. I think it's really nice how he's talked about how it supports the design of the journey that the players will be on, but also implicitly around the coaches and the management are bought into it and actually how they then deliver that program. So I think in club world, that's really something for people to start to consider too, about actually how you might start with these. And I think that's a good starting point to consider.
Yeah, and a word we'd often use is culture, right, and environment. And he kind of talked to that a little bit. So when we step into an England age environment, you're talking about more in this episode, can you see there is a pursuit of excellence for everyone in there? Can you see there's a relentless spirit within everything they do? And we're talking, well, it feels like we're talking more around on pitch, but I imagine there's probably Don elements off pitch where this comes to life quite a lot as well, especially around celebrating everyone's contribution and the support and challenge element. It's all inclusive within the environment, both at England age group activity, but probably outside of it as well when they're away from England, because the reality is they're outside of this environment more than then inside the environment.
Yeah, I agree absolutely. It jumps to mind, particularly the pursuit of excellence one is absolutely about on-pitch stuff. It's absolutely about off-pitch stuff at age group. But then so much of that has to be the work and the dedication and the way that they go about training and setting goals outside of the England age group environment. That's, as you said, there's so much more of that time that they spend away from in their club and school environments. And we have to help them to be using those environments to the best of their ability. And that's about the pursuit of excellence part, absolutely. And how they have very sort of targeted development, I guess, in those areas. Those areas that they set at club and school should be related to the work that they do with us in the England Age Group programme. And they really need to pay great attention to that, both on the pitch and again in their sort of S&C work away from the pitch environment and away from the age group environment.
Great. Gary, let's take a deeper dive into it then. Where are we starting?
Should we go to that deep dive question around the pursuit of excellence to start with, Don? Do you want to sort of, let's start with there, you know, what does pursuit of excellence really look like for you? And then and also the players within that environment. And let's go there and then we'll move on.
So I think, as perhaps I've hinted at, I think the pursuit of excellence could relate to almost everything within the programme and outside of it. So it's a general, I guess, mindset and intent to say that we're going to do everything that we're going to do to the best of our ability, recognising there are limits to that. We don't have that long. We're often sort of squeezing things in. But when we commit to something, we're going to do it to the best of our ability. And that's all going to be related to a player's individual development plan. And we spend quite a lot of time getting the players to build their individual development plan. It's something that they write. We help them with it and we will refine them with the statements that they make within it. But that individual development plan is about them identifying things that they are really good at in Super Focus and things that we want to help them to be better at. The first one was Super Strength. The second one is Super Focus, things we want them to help them to be better at. And so the pursuit of excellence is about identifying those things and being really detailed and specific about them. So, for example, if we're going to write about a pursuit of excellence and something to Super Focus, can we help them to be better at, for example, planning their week? So in the age group program, we get the girls to submit weekly planners of what their week is looking like in terms of their training load. When are they going to fit in their top up running sessions, their gym work, and all of the other elements that they have to squeeze into what is undoubtedly a hugely busy week for every one of them every week. But how can they pay attention to making sure that they get the most out of each opportunity they've got? So that's one little example of a pursuit of excellence, is about being really detailed in the planning, really detailed in thinking about how they're going to maximize their diet through the week and getting them to sort of report on that. And that's sort of one example of how we would ask them to be really diligent and detailed in that.
Thanks, Don. Brett, you're probably going to want to jump in a second as well about the next bits, but I'm just thinking there, Club World, straight away, link back to a previous episode where we spoke to Sarah and Pip around profiling, and they then moved into IDPs and a little bit around actually that weekly plan. I thought, so from a Club World perspective, you know, it could well be that if you've got players that may be in the England age group, they've already got this. It may be some of the players that are aspiring to get through Talent Academy or go straight in and be seen in the age group. Actually, giving them some support around IDP and goal setting is definitely where I think we could potentially start some of that. Doesn't mean you need a classroom session. It could potentially just be some support around actually just some real clear goal settings with super strength and super focus areas. But for me, that could be where we start to think around this pursuit of excellence, and then we layer it up bit by bit when we have more time, if we get more time. Brett?
Yeah, I'm conscious of time, but I'm really interested to just dig a tiny bit deeper, and I've not prepped this question, Don, so hopefully there's some answer that comes to your mind. But what feedback do you have on players? You get players in at 14, sometimes 15, that are just new into this system, and this could be the first time they've really wrestled with this concept of doing everything to the best of their ability and really striving for excellence. And I'm just really curious, really, to the things that you see in the players and maybe the feedback that you get from the players around trying to tackle this and challenge this kind of concept.
Yeah. Well, the one that stands out, I guess, is always in the under 16 environment. The girls are obviously in the kind of stage of life where they've got most of them got masses of opportunities. They're doing things every day of the week. Sometimes they have two or even three sort of loads of activity each day. So lots of that's hockey, but there's some other things in there as well. And we definitely don't want to dissuade them or discourage them from doing other things. But we really try and encourage them to ask the question to themselves, how do I make the most of the week that I've got? So it doesn't become either a kind of trudge through activity after activity after activity, but also that we start to challenge them, and it's just a start to challenge them about some of the activities in their program. Because what we generally find is there's probably, for quite a lot of the girls, there are a number of sessions each week that are actually not that higher quality, or they're not that intense, but it's adding to their load of activity over the week. And so part of the challenge, and it's just the challenge really at under 16, because it's something that you can't resolve overnight, and there's more going on to it than this, is to start to ask them about, are there elements of this that you either need to change or step away from or do differently in order to think, how do I make the best of my week? How do I make sure that every hockey session that I do is really purposeful and I'm getting loads out of it, as opposed to that junior training session that I go to because I feel compelled to go to. I probably don't get that much out of it. I might have a role in modelling and show and being a role model to others, but actually, is it helpful every week to do that in the way that I currently do it? I'm being really vague there because and apologies, it's different for each person, but generally trying to tackle that issue of load, quality, and purposefulness is a real, it's a very consistent conversation that we have in this, in what is usually the first year of England exposure for girls in our in this program. So and we don't solve it in this program, but it's just starting to raise the issue because they probably need to be a little bit more purposeful about their decision making as they go on.
Which probably
take that, or do I need to be more specific?
No, and I guess if you're doing lots and lots and lots, the ability to be really, really focused on that pursuit of excellence becomes much harder. So how do you pick and choose those moments? I guess the other flip of that is, how do you find something to go after in sessions where you can be really, really good at that thing? Is there a single focus? And this shift in the mindset there is, yeah, quite new, I imagine, for some of those people, the young players coming through.
Really new. And I think for some of them, or for quite a few of them, actually, you know, the pressures that will come from school and or club to show up to training sessions and to be a part of it because they're an England player, actually that's quite a strong steer from adults in those environments. And I'm not always convinced that a lot of those decisions have the child's best interest at heart in terms of their long-term development. So I think, you know, we want to be part of challenging that as well and putting them and their development at the heart of those decisions.
Thanks. Just a couple of bits just to summarise that section. For me, then, communication's really key to this. So having the communication, having those conversations with the relevant people. So first person might be the player, could then also be the parents, could then be actually those other environments as well, and having some stuff there. But also the second bit, we've talked a lot previously around stretch hockey and support hockey. Again, we've got to make sure that a player is having both within there, because it helps their development. So I think you've kind of summarised that nicely. Brett, shall we move on to the next section?
Yeah, it probably links in quite nicely. So we're saying that the best teams and the best players have had this relentless spirit. And again, when we're talking about international level sport and international level hockey, physically very, very hard, mentally very, very hard. We talk about the Rio Olympics when women won gold. What was it, 7 games in 9 days or something ridiculous like that? That is an unbelievable physical toll, as well as the mental and everything else that kind of comes with it. How does that sit within your program, Don? I know we spoke earlier about practice design being a really key element of this. It'd be great again to share with the listeners where that sits.
It sits in so many ways. This is probably the one that is the most overt right from the beginning and just into everything, because I guess one of the things that we know, having done this for quite a lot of years, we know that this in junior international environment is just different from school hockey, from club hockey, from anything else most that they've done to date. You know, this is the first England age group. So it's their first exposure generally to junior international hockey. And it's just so different. It's so different in its level of intensity and the nature of the game. So at this level of intensity, the girls can't play a whole match or most of it, as most of them do in club and school environments coming into this. And they can't do it because the speed of the game and the speed that we're going to ask them to play at is so much higher. Essentially, we're asking them to repeatedly sprint for somewhere between 4, 6, maximum 8 minutes before they sprint off the pitch for a rest, have a few minutes break, water, and then back on to essentially do exactly the same thing again, to repeatedly sprint for 4, 6, or 8 minutes, depending upon where you're on the pitch. So that element and the speed of it and the relentless nature of just sprinting and sprinting and sprinting is completely different to what they've known before. So we often start with that program because we know that it is one of the main things that we need to help them to get used to and to understand, that's going to really help them to prepare for when they come to junior international competitive environments. So we will use that word right from the beginning. We'll use it in practice design, in the briefs that we send out pre-camp. We'll often say this is a relentless game, or, you know, relentless game one, or we'll deliberately use it in the title so that we're getting the language in. On the pitch then, what we mean by that in physical terms is the ability to just work for as long as they can, as relentlessly as they can. But there's also, I guess, a non-physical component is the mentality of to keep going and to keep fighting for something and to keep competing all the time and all the way through. So I guess very practically then, in our practice design, we will have games and activities which require a very high level of repeated sprint, and we'll keep activities quite short. So that 4, 6, 8 minutes that I mentioned, which is largely the time that they'll be on the pitch, we would often play games that are just that long and then have a break and then go again and have a break and have a get. So we don't let things run very long because we want to keep the physical intensity high. And then in our practice design, I guess from a competitive element, we will do almost everything we'll do will be competitive. It will be scored and there'll be a competition to it. Part of that's about relentlessness, part of it's about fun and banter, but part of it's about relentlessness. But also then it's about in our practice design, ensuring that however we structure the scoring or the competition, we ensure that every segment of it is meaningful. So we'll try and instill the sense that even when we get to the sick chucker of playing a little small-sided game or a competitive, then it will matter and it will be scored and you've still got a chance of winning, essentially. And we'll try and model that in our practice design through the way that we score the points or through the way that we add things up to try and re-emphasize that thing that we, regardless of what's happened in a match today or what the score might be at any particular time, the DNA of England hockey is we keep competing and we keep going to the best of our ability right to the final whistle, no matter what. And I think we've bought in as a whole age group program to thinking, well, that's a really unique selling point, I guess, of what the England age group program is about. And that's something that we can do really well and model really well. There are some things that some other nations will be able to do better than us because they have a different way of a different culture and a different structure. But that's one of the things that I think that we can still do as well, if not better than anybody else.
It's the team you don't want to play against, right? The team that never gives up, that always, always there. Again, just bring it to life. Maybe someone who listening might be interested. Some practice design features that I've played around with is if you're playing some sort of competition, it might be four teams that are within it. You play games, you get points, end up with a league table. So first, second, third, fourth. Fourth of them play third in the classification area, for like the knockout area. Third team might have a slight advantage to go one or two goals up, but the fourth team can still catch up and beat them. Then they'll play the team that's second. So they still, again, might have a head start, the second team. So they might have a couple of goals in it, but they could still, the fourth team could beat them. Then they play the team that finished first. So they could go to the bottom and still end up in the final match and still could win. So really trying to develop that relentless spirit. Yep, we've had a tough time. Chips are down. But if you keep going, keep going, keep going, there's an opportunity to win this overall, which again tries to include this GB player quality within our environment, but also develop that individual action around it. So that ability to be relentless and resilient and all those kind of things. The other thing that sprung to mind, Don, and I'm just kind of playing my thoughts back to you and the people that are listening. One of my big things around international hockey, and obviously just it applies to the levels as you move up as well, is because time and space starts to decrease. So you move up a level, less time and space, move up a level, less time and space. So pursuit of excellence is a really big thing here. So our technical ability to utilize the diminishing time and space is really important. The other aspect I see is that the hockey is played on a full pitch. So what I mean by that, if the ball is with the left defender, it could go to their right winger at any point. So you as the left defender have to be really engaged, really on it all the time that you're on the field. Whereas I feel at different levels, you could probably not have to be quite so engaged, not have to be quite so focused, because the ball is less likely to travel from left defender to right striker. And that's another area of that, because relentless spirit, there's no rest time whatsoever when you're on the field. Great. Gary, any questions from you, or do we start to move into the final two player qualities?
I was just going to sort of wrap that up a little bit in trying to think about it from a club world perspective, because everything you've mentioned there sounds great. How can I bring this to life in my little world in a club? So I think you've touched on a couple of bits there. Practice design, so consider the pitches, the pitch sizes, the timings that you're going to be using, and actually what's the actions that you might get from changing some of those with the players. So that'd be the first thing I think I took away. Second thing would be match preps. Actually, you talked about match briefs. Not every club coach would send out match briefs, but they might be talking, they'll obviously talk to their players prior to a match, and actually the language and the way that you're communicating in that by bringing in some of that relentless spirit. You also talked around the DNA or the club's USP, and I think that would be, if I was in a club world now, I'd be thinking, actually, what is our club's DNA? What's our club's USP? And how could we bring the relentless spirit to life within that? Actually, where are we relentless as a club? So if we look at junior teams, senior teams, actually, where are we relentless? What's that really mean to us? Are we? Is it defending? Is it attacking? Is it both? You know, what is it? So, yeah, great. Thank you very much. I think that's my summary of those bits there. So, Brett, back to you.
Great. So turn our attention now to the final two, Don, which is celebrate everyone's contribution and support and challenge. Again, hopefully they got we got a fair idea of what those things mean, but bringing it to life and hearing what it looks like in the England age group capacity, I think it'd be really interesting.
Yeah. So there are a number of ways, I think, in which we've tried to bring these things to life. One, as I've already mentioned, is the IDPs. I'll come back to that again in a second. A second is the work that we do to try and build a culture. So this, I think, is quite a well-established way of building a group. I'm sure lots of clubs and lots of other environments do this out there, but we try and build some cultural statements that the girls come up with. They generate essentially that are based in the values that they think are important to them. And you can imagine the kind of things that if you ask a group of 14 and 15 year old girls what's important to them, they'll talk about you know, being supportive and responding to feedback, being coachable. They'll usually say relentless, because by the time we do this work, we've probably said it 3 billion times to them. So they, you know, they do like to feed some of the stuff back that perhaps we've really overtly reinforced. And what we'll try and do is, over the course of perhaps two or three sessions that we'll do in a seminar room somewhere, we'll build some kind of visual that captures this cultural work. So this looks different every year. A couple of years ago, the girls designed this really nice tree, which was sort of significance of, was supposed to illustrate the growth that they were going to have throughout the year, and the branches were the different values. It was, you know, really nicely done. Last year we had a modification of the England badge with the lions on it with some words around. And this year our group have designed a lion's head, essentially, and in the mane of the lion are the 12 key words that they considered as a group were the most important to them. They started with about 60 words and they refined it down to get to these 12 statements. So that cultural piece is really important. A, generating the values that they think are most important to them. And then what we do in the next stage to that is to attach some behaviours to it. So one of the words that they've got on there, for example, is relentless, but also they've got, this year they've got park it as a mindset, to as a response to say, oh, when something goes wrong, we're going to adopt a park it mentality. I put it to one side, focus on our next job and what we're supposed to be doing. And we'll put lots of behavioral statements next to that. It's almost like a bit of a code that they'll agree to how we're going to do this. And that could apply to the way that they now we'll say, when we walk down to the training pitch, wherever that is, we'll go as a group. We'll all meet together at a point and then we'll walk to training together. And as we walk to training, we will talk about hockey and we'll talk about what the session is going to be and what we're going to try and get out of it. And it will be a really team, purposeful walk to the pitch rather than just general chatter, which they can do elsewhere. But they'll also have some behavioral statements about how they're going to organize groups or sit together at lunch. That might seem quite a small thing or a petty thing, but it isn't. It's about trying to recognize that they need to operate as a really good supportive team. So A, it lives in those values. That's one way in which it sort of comes to life in those statements. And it's actually really challenging in a under 16 environment. And I think it's probably especially challenging in a girls' environment where sometimes they're not that used to being a vocal or a loud person in a group, and especially not on a pitch to give instruction or to challenge things that might not be going particularly well. That's something that as 14 and 15 year old girls, or perhaps just 14 or 15 year olds in general, it's not common for them to have that level of responsibility or expectation that they would be challenging in a positive sense. In the way that they might use their voice or their language. Sometimes they've even said to me, oh, I recognize that wasn't right, or perhaps something on the pitch went wrong, or somebody needed to adjust their position, or perhaps even off the pitch, you know, somebody was just not focused particularly, or just had lost attention, and they didn't want to correct them or didn't want to challenge them because they thought they might be perceived as stepping out of line, or even criticizing somebody else in the group that might then negatively affect their selection, for example. So there's loads of dynamics going on that are really challenging in this space. What we're trying to do, I guess, is trying to help the girls to accept that challenging is a part of being an excellent athlete. And that's about challenging each other to be better, challenging themselves to be better, but also having a progressive and maybe even challenging conversation with a coach about how we might do a process better or how the environment might be better managed. Those things are quite challenging. The other bits that are perhaps a lot easier are the supportive bits, because in general, this is a group which are really encouraging to one another. It's generally quite a positive environment. Our challenge is to try and help them to be more vocal with that and to verbally encourage each other and to give instruction in a positive way, even more than they're used to doing, and to make the particularly the on-pitch stuff louder, busier, more instructive, because that's where we want to get them to. So those elements of support and challenge are, in some ways, they're not countercultural, but there's a lot of work that we need to do to help them to get to do that really well.
Yeah, real big focus with us with the 18s as well. And you said there's so many little dynamics of playing. And so we had two questions at a recent camp that we had, was trying to get them to take ownership over their own development. So we asked them, what are you doing to make yourself better? And I posed it at the beginning of the camp as a question, like have a thought around this. The second question was, what are you doing to make others better? Again, have a thought, have an idea of where it is. And as the camp went on, we then got them into groups to discuss it. And then we got them into pairs and actually really verbalizing and sharing back. So really making that a real big thing. So yeah, you're here to make yourself better, but you're here to make other people better. If we can all adopt that as a principle, we're surely will be better. And I, ironically, Don, it really came about when, as an under 16 and under 18 program, we combined for the day and we challenged some of the 18 players to lead a practice, lead on the coaching points, lead on when the practice should stop, start, and all that kind of stuff. And generally, some of the groups I thought were unbelievably outstanding. And my feedback to the group at the end was how positive. We had Elliot Newell, our sports psychologist, overseeing it. And he didn't step in once. The only time he stepped in was at the end of the session and went, I haven't stepped in because you're brilliant. Actually, what you're doing there was so good. And I challenged them at the end of the camp to go, why don't we do this all the time? Is there value in what we're doing? Is it make the session better? Does it make us better? Great, then let's always do it. And we really, really push that hard. And I think we're getting some rewards out of it. And we're growing quite a nice culture. Again, sits within these GB player qualities as well. Really conscious of time. Oh, go on, Don, you want to say something?
Well, I was only going to say, you reminded me of our need, I think, as coaches to step back sometimes and to give some of that responsibility more regularly. And if anybody's coaching and you're like me and you're listening to this, you'll find this a real challenge, because you feel like you've always got to be the one who's designing something or giving some feedback or, organizing and generally making sure that everything is flowing well. And I get that, absolutely. And that is absolutely part of the nature of who we are as coaches, I guess. We're trying to give all the time. Sometimes, as you've reminded us there, Brett, the best thing we need to do in order to give is to step back and to actually do a bit less and to let others lead and have a greater voice in something, or to have more responsibility in what they're doing, and have faith to give it to good people to take responsibility for and to challenge them around it.
Awesome.
Well, lots of good stuff in there. Just going to, as ever, just trying to sort of come back, summarize a few bits. So I think the first bit summarized would be culture. Now we speak quite a lot to clubs around their current culture. How is it embedded across junior and senior sections? And that might be something that people can take away from this, is actually from a whole club perspective, what's important to them. So what's the values that they're sort of doing? And maybe some of those tasks that Don talks about there might be what clubs want to start to do with their own membership. Now that could be face-to-face, it could be through different activities to do, and also the behaviors that they may want to try and bring to life. And that, again, that could be part of what we talked about earlier, part of your DNA, your USP, moving things forward. Individually, that could be part of a team as well. So a team within that club itself that has its own values and behaviours, but are linked to the overarching DNA, USP that the club really tries to bring to life. And I know that we, Brett, have had some conversations in our roles with clubs around some of that. The second part around this environment on the on-pitch stuff, off-pitch stuff, you know, really important that the communication, the coach-player relationship is really driving. So there's that trust. There is that thriving environment where players do feel that they can support, but they can also challenge, whether that's peer-to-peer, whether that's set individually through IDPs, whether that's through some actual work that's going on within the scenarios that are on the pitch. The, you know, there's some bits off the pitch there about actually walking to and from training and about how that might go. And in club world, that could be from car park to pitch, from clubhouse, etc. Just some really nice bits there that we can start to consider. It doesn't mean that we have to go out and change everything. It's just that, okay, so what are we doing? What would we like to see in our team? But actually, what does our players want to see within our team around some of that? That's what I'm taking away if I was in a club world right now, or another program, a school program, a county program, etc., about how we could bring some of this to life. Anything you want to add before I move into the final section? No. Okay. So, Don, not to put you too much on the spot, but we always like to have sort of like three key takeouts. If you were the other side of this podcast now, what could be the three things that you think, actually, I'm going to take these away because I think that they're important to you, or you think they're not the easiest, but might be like three steps. So, yeah, what would be the three takeaways for coaches within this talent environment now?
I think we need to put the player at the centre of what we're doing, which means we need to have a really strong idea of their individual development plan, whether that is overtly written like it is in the England Age Group programme, or whether it's something that is more of a conversation between coach and player. But whatever it is, have you got a really clear idea of development for each of the individuals in your collective group, and how are you designing your environment and how are you designing your practices to help them to grow in the space that they need to take to make progress in? And in some ways that links to the celebrating everyone's contribution quality, because it's really easy sometimes to say, oh, it's all about the individual and we need to be conscious of their individual development. But we do play a team game, and we need to help people to recognize how to operate within a team. So we also need to think about, I think, how do we build an environment where people can recognize what each other do well, and how can you adjust and respond your game to what other people are doing really effectively. So in our program, for example, at the moment, what we've set as a challenge in the girls' individual development plan is to name somebody else in the group and to identify something they do really well and to suggest, how does that help me to be a better hockey player? So some people have named, for example, somebody who throws an aerial. I know they throw an aerial, and that means that the way that I might either lead for the ball or leave a space for them to throw an aerial in, that's going to influence how I position myself. Or I know that somebody is really good at driving to the baseline, and that affects the way in which I'm going to jump in front of my marker at the last minute, because I know when they're going to deliver the ball. So I think we have to be individually focused, but we have to recognize that people have a contribution to make to the team. And we need to design our practices and design our environments with both of those things in mind. And then I think just overall, if we're thinking about these principles of pursuing excellence and relentlessness, how do we help the whole space be accountable for the quality that's being delivered, and being actually really quite diligent to how we demand that things are done well, that they're done well consistently, and we hold people to the standard and to the cultural statements and behaviours that we've asked them to come up with, essentially. So it's being really consistent in the way that we and really diligent to those things, so that they are really meaningful to everybody. And I see you said three, there's one more, which I guess is that underpins all of that, is about the care for the individual. And just to say the way in which you do those things, and the way in which you pay attention and be diligent to planning and to their individual development, and the way that you speak to people, I think if you can genuinely do that with a care for the individual at heart, then that's actually the most important bit, that you ensure that that's the foundation stone on which all of the rest of this is layered.
Cool. Thank you very much. Don, really appreciate your time today to come and chat to myself and Brett, as ever with me. I've got lots of notes and hopefully we've summarised those about how we can sort of support each other throughout the talent system, whether that's club, county, school world, but also bring into life how that worked with you within your England age group role. So thank you for sharing and getting so in depth with it. Brett, thank you again for your time and being a fantastic co-host and deep diving into some of these questions. And listeners, thank you very much for joining us on the Nurturing Potential England Hockey Talent Team podcast. We hope to have you join us again very, very soon. Thank you.